I'm Mark Simpson, and this is Intersection. This week, as part of 90.7's Changing Course series, Intersection looks at teacher tenure and merit pay. We'll talk to Florida Education Commissioner Eric Smith about what some of the proposed changes in Tallahassee could mean. Plus, we sit down with a current teacher and a prospective teacher to talk about how some of those changes could affect their everyday lives in the classroom. Those conversations ahead on Intersection. We're talking about the education proposals being put forward in the legislature and from the governor's office on Intersection today. One idea that's gaining ground both in Florida and nationally is eliminating teacher tenure. The state's Republican Governor Rick Scott has said good teachers know they don't need tenure. He's brought in Democrat Michelle Rhee, the former chancellor of Washington, D.C.'s schools, to talk to the legislature to discuss reforms. Her group, Students First, is advising governors on eliminating tenure in Florida, Nevada, and New Jersey. But the state's teachers union in Florida says, hey, tenure is no golden ticket to a job. Well, stuck somewhere in the middle of this debate is the Florida Department of Education, which has to carry out the policies which are passed by the legislature. Here to talk with us about what losing teacher tenure could mean is Commissioner of the Florida Department of Education, Dr. Eric J. Smith. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, and good morning to everybody.
Well, we're going to talk about teacher tenure, but there was a major bombshell that landed in the education community lately. It's Governor Rick Scott's budget plans to cut the Department of Education's own budget by $3.3 billion, reducing K-12 budget spending by about $154 million. Eric Smith, you were there at the Department of Education leading that department under the austere budgets of Governor Charlie Crist. What do you think now about this budget proposal that's been put forward by Governor Scott? What's it going to mean for public schools and education in Florida?
Well, I think it's a starting point. And I think I commend the governor for, I think, a very thoughtful budget, one that reflects the difficult economic times all of us are in, and a budget that is realistic in terms of again the economy that we have in Florida currently. And responsive to that, I've been here for 3 years, and I've never had a year that has been up in revenue, and one that we could talk about new ideas and new initiatives and how we might use additional funding. This year is no exception to that. This is a process, and I think the governor again has put together a very thoughtful proposal. The legislature now, the ball's on the field, and legislature now has to wrestle with his proposal, and over the next several months, come up with their final approved budget.
We're talking about teacher tenure, good or bad. Where do you come down on it, Commissioner Smith? Do you agree with Governor Scott that good teachers don't need to worry about tenure?
I think the proposal that's in the legislature currently is a very good proposal. Our obligation as educators is first and foremost to make sure that our children that we have responsibility for are well served academically, and that takes precedent over other issues of continued guaranteed employment for the rest of your life and so forth. So I think that the proposal that's out there in legislation is a very good proposal. It ties both compensation and employment decisions of an educator to their evaluation and to their performance, what they do in class every day. And I think that's the way it should be. That's the way it is in most businesses. And I think it is definitely the right move for Florida and for our schools and for education.
Well, you worked in leadership positions right here in Central Florida at Orange County and Volusia County schools. Did you ever find a circumstance when you thought, hey, you know, teacher tenure is really working here?
No, I didn't, and I don't think I was. I was an exception. I was a teacher in Orange County. Taught at Union Park Junior High and was principal at Winter Park, and assistant principal at Oak Ridge High School, and so I do have classroom experience and so forth. I would say back in my day, and the evaluation system was not effective. It was broken. I'd usually see an administrator for maybe a couple times a year, briefly. We'd have a brief end of year review and report that had to be filed, and as a result of that, there was no impact on you know, decisions around, you know, my increase in salary the next year or whatever. So it was disconnected from the rest of issues. So I think that what's being discussed right now is certainly a good step forward. It will add to the professionalism of teaching and education. It is part of a not just a state movement but a national movement. It is very integrated with our work around Race to the Top and so forth. So I think it's going to be a very positive move for children and for educators in the state.
Well, take me a step further with that. So are you saying that when you were a teacher, if this proposal had rolled down the aisle and you heard that teacher tenure was going to be eliminated, would that have affected your own career choices at all as an educator?
No, I wouldn't have had any concern about that. I think good teachers shouldn't and won't have any concern about employment. Good teachers will be easier to identify with a legitimate evaluation process, and they will certainly be easier to recognize through compensation. And my expectation will be able to be distinguished from those that perhaps are highly ineffective teachers that perhaps truly need to exit the profession, or those that are not as effective as others. So I do think this is going to be a process where we can begin to truly recognize those that contribute so much in our schools and to our children and to our communities, and do that in a meaningful way rather than the more lockstep, everybody moves the same in terms mm-hmm. of compensation and recognition.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with the Commissioner of the Florida Department of Education, Dr. Eric J. Smith. What do you think about the teacher tenure debate? You can tell us at the WMFE Facebook and Twitter pages. You know, teacher tenure is also tied into this bigger issue of evaluating educators and determining how they should be evaluated and what type of financial awards teachers could receive has been a contentious issue in Florida. Last year's teacher merit pay bill was vetoed by Governor Charlie Crist. Are you surprised then to see this issue come back 1 year later, dealing with eliminating teacher tenure, changing the evaluation system for teachers in Florida, Commissioner?
I'm not surprised at all, because it is the right issue. Other industrialized nations that are very competitive educationally, if you ask them or study their strategies for dramatically improving the achievement of their students, their number one strategy, every single country, their number one strategy is focusing on the quality of the teachers in the classroom. And so this isn't a creative reform issue for the sake of reform. This is, in my view, is of state and national interest, both economically and from a security standpoint. So we simply have to improve the quality of teachers in our classrooms. We have to do that accurately. What this legislation and what Race to the Top calls for is one, a much more sophisticated method of evaluation that would include good measure of impact on students' learning gains, whether or not a teacher is actually able to help a child to learn more over the course of the year, or whether a child actually regresses and gets worse for being in a teacher's classroom over the course of the year.
Let me ask you just a little bit about that evaluation, because there's a formula that I understand the commissioner position is able to help put together, where you take in factors like student attendance, discipline records, English proficiency. How do you create that formula and measure that subjective type of learning?
Well, again, we have teachers that certainly teach in different environments, different conditions, and And so when we do the measurement of teacher impact on learning gains, we want to do that very fairly. And probably the number, well, you mentioned a number of issues. I'd say probably the number one issue is the level of achievement of the child when they start the class. There certainly are others, issues of special needs, issues of non-English speaking and so forth. Those factors can be identified, and teachers that serve different populations would not be measured against would be measured against the performance of teachers across state that are serving like populations. So if you're in a remedial class with students and the learning gains you make there versus the teacher that's serving advanced placement kids, I would not envision an evaluation process that would put those two in the same calculation.
Dr. Eric Smith is the commissioner of the Florida Department of Education. He spoke to us from Tallahassee. Commissioner, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Coming up on Intersection, we talk with a current teacher and an education student about what tenure means to their careers. The debate over evaluating teachers and rewarding them with merit pay as well as eliminating teacher tenure is lively in Tallahassee. Last week, the Senate Education Committee passed a bill sponsored by Senator Stephen Wise. It would rely more heavily on standardized tests for evaluating teachers and change the way they are hired and the way they are fired. The bill's passage was preceded by presentations in both chambers from former Washington, D.C. Schools Chancellor Michelle Rhee. Here's what she had to say.
If you'd like to learn from one of the mistakes I made in particular, make it as clear as possible that you are not out to get teachers when you talk about and create policies that reflect how incredible their influence is.
Michelle Rhee talking in front of the Florida legislature last week about what her missteps were as she tried to reform D.C. public schools. Well, here to discuss what losing teacher tenure and other reforms could mean to the way teachers are evaluated in Florida is Elton Wright. He teaches third grade at Eagles Nest Elementary School in Orange County. He also is second vice president with the Orange County Teachers Union. Elton, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you for having me.
And to get the perspective of someone going into the education field, we're joined by Ken Bernstein. He's a graduate student in education at the University of Central Florida. Ken, good to have you here.
Ed, thanks a lot.
You know, there's been so much talk about tenure. In the first part of our program, we heard the Florida Commissioner of the Department of Education, Eric Smith, talking about where he comes down on the tenure debate. Most people think that when someone has tenure, that means you have job security, a sense of permanence. Elton Wright, you say that's not exactly what tenure means for teachers here in Florida. Explain it.
Correct. You know, the perception is that tenure means you can't be let go, you can't be fired or anything like that. But actually, here in the state of Florida, we have what we call the professional service contract. PSC is what we know to call it in the school system. Well, all it really does is just give me an opportunity to have due process if something goes on and they want to let me go. It's not that you can't be fired. It's just that there's a process that you must go through. Before the PSC in the mid-90s, it was known as a continuing contract. And once again, it never meant that you can just work forever and you can never be fired. We have evaluations that we go through. If a principal sees that something is wrong, then what they do is they just write up some kind of professional improvement plan. And then if they're still unsuccessful with that, then they don't recommend you for rehire.
And in the beginning, when someone is brought into the school system, right, there's a 3-year probationary period.
Well, yes, because they're on what they call annual contract. And you can basically be not on reappointed at the end of your contract. It's a 1-year contract each year for those first 3 years, and it is a time to evaluate you.
So allowing teachers to have due process in their evaluations in the school system, why then has this term teacher tenure become a target for education reformers here in Florida?
Well, I think one of the things that people are afraid to look at is how are we evaluating teachers? You can't just say a teacher's bad because they're bad. No, what evaluation tool are you utilizing to see whether or not they're on task with the students, whether or not they're following the objectives, whether or not they're teaching, you know, the way that the students can recognize and can identify with so that they can obtain the knowledge that is needed. So when you think from that standpoint, then, hey, you know, there are no bad teachers. Maybe it's the evaluation system in itself that we need to look at.
Are we seeing tenure then as a relic of a different time in education, and that time is now passed on?
Well, I think based on some of the bills that are coming out, I guess you can say that, some people think that. But let's look at it from this standpoint. Why should it be so easy just to let somebody go from a job? You know, what if somebody just went and said something? Does that mean that I should get fired just because somebody else said something? What if somebody say they saw me do something but didn't understand what I was doing, didn't go to the trainings that I went to? I went to differentiated instruction training. I could be doing something that they may not know that was a part of that training. And guess what? They go back and tell, and they say, you know, I'm fired. So
is the term tenure then misused? Is it the wrong term to use for what you're talking about, this due process that gets enshrined into your job evaluation procedures after a certain period of time?
I think it's definitely the word that is being misused right now. They instead of utilizing what it really is, it's just taking people through a due process. All we're saying is that if you're going to let me go, then follow a process. And then also the thing about it is, do we really just want to let people go? Whatever happened to training people? Whatever happened to professional development? These are all the things that in every job that's out there, there's a continuation of knowledge that they must learn. Things become more computerized. Guess what? The people who are on those jobs, do you fire them because they don't know how to do it, or do you take them through professional development? So there have been times when teachers have actually been let go, then moved on to other counties and become Teacher of the Year. So what happened? Well, sometimes it takes some seasoning. Sometimes it takes more professional development. Sometimes it just takes people encouraging them to move forward.
It's my understanding that under the bill that's moving through the Florida Senate right now, teachers who already have tenure would not be impacted by these changes, but this new regulation would impact incoming teachers. What impact do you think losing tenure could have for potential and incoming teachers, Elton?
Well, first off, you ever heard that saying, divide and conquer? If I have to live on one standard and somebody else has to live on another standard, you're basically dividing us. Instead of this being my colleague who's equal with me, no matter what's going on, that's been through the same thing I went through. I went through 3 years of an annual contract, 3 years of a probationary period. So if one of my colleagues come along and they go through that same thing, then guess what? We're still equal. But now, if I have my quote-unquote tenure, which is a professional service contract, which I have, then and they can't have that and they can't get that, then now you're looking at us differently. Also, based on the way that they're talking about doing that, there's going to actually be two different pay scales that will also affect us. So now you're talking about being affected money-wise and as far as our tenure and professional service contract go.
Let's bring another voice into the conversation. Ken Bernstein is a graduate student in education at the University of Central Florida. Ken, what does the possibility of doing away with teacher tenure mean for you?
Well, first of all, to touch on what Elton said, my parents, when, you know, they will call me every once in a while because, again, they're not thrilled about my career choice, don't understand the term tenure. And when they, you know, they're talking to me about teacher tenure being a problem, assume it's tenure in the traditional sense of the word. They don't understand how the contracting.
They think it's like a university professor or someone, right, that gets in
exactly.
There and you're kind of locked
minus
in.
Minus some gross, you know, conflict of, you know, the social contract. You're not going anywhere. And they see that as a stagnating quality in teachers. They see, you know, that it allows teachers to not really progress, you know, because teaching is a process. And some, my parent, that's how they saw tenure, so they're against it.
So it sounds like you're saying that you've come to grips with what tenure means for you as a teacher if you were to come into Florida. Are you saying then that it's not that big a deal if it goes away?
I think that teacher tenure is probably one of the smaller issues affecting the state of education in Florida. And to think that this is going to change anything is, to me, not really a realistic view. You're assessing teachers on standardized test scores, which, to me, I don't agree with the standardized testing system.
With the FCAT specifically in Florida?
The FCAT is one of them. You know, I live with and go to school with a bunch of people who passed it, and they don't really seem to have any problem-solving skills. And I think that if you're gonna assess a teacher on standardized tests, you're asking them, and you're basing their pay on it, you're asking them to make a decision between the best interests of the student and your financial well-being. Because I don't think that teaching for the test does a student any bit of service.
Well, Eldon, I'd like to get your opinion on that. You've been in the classroom for 16 years. You've seen the FCAT come into being. And how has this impacted your own teaching skills, how you approach the students, and what you're thinking in terms of how your performance might be impacted financially?
Well, I'm in the middle range now. I'm not a dinosaur, but I'm getting there. 16 years, I'm at that halfway point. And when you think about it, I teach the benchmarks. I teach the objectives. I teach the standards. In doing that, I'm covering the skills that's going to be tested on the FCAT. Then as it gets closer to the testing, yes, there's a little bit more focus on it. But the thing about it is, a lot of people got to understand that one test is just covering the minimal basic skills. There's a whole lot of objectives in the third grade curriculum alone. Each grade level has a notebook. And if you look at each and every one of the subjects, everything, it even benchmarks that talks about technology, things of that nature. So by hitting it all, guess what? I've covered it all. and I understand when you're not in the classroom, you have a perception. But the reality of the situation is this. The same way that we still have issues in the United States when it comes to race, when it comes to prejudices, things of that nature. Guess what? Those are true things that actually still happen in the school system. Sometimes among your own peers, but they can also happen from an administrator level to a teacher level. They can actually happen on higher levels than that. So guess what? What if somebody doesn't like the fact that you're a male teaching in an elementary school? That can cause you to then turn to say, hey, well, but I'm doing my job. Well, but we don't want you here. You're gone. That's where the due process comes in.
Mm-hmm.
See, you gotta remember due process is just a process that states that it's not going to stop me from being fired. But it will at least allow me to be, the firing has to be justified.
You're listening to Intersection on 90.7 WMFE-FM. We're talking about what losing teacher tenure could mean in Florida. What do you think? Tell us your thoughts on the WMFE Facebook and Twitter pages, or you can send an email to intersection@WMFE.org. I'm speaking with Elton Wright, who teaches third grade at Eagles Nest Elementary in Orange County, and UCF education graduate student Ken Bernstein. I'm Mark Simpson. Ken Bernstein, as you ponder where you're going to be heading in the education system, you hear about these changes being talked about in Tallahassee. You said you're kind of concerned about these standardized tests being tied to teacher evaluations. Well, you're going to graduate in about a year or so. Will you be teaching in Florida?
Not. Given the climate now, I can't see myself staying here. And that's unfortunate because, you know, I grew up here more or less, and I went to school here, and I see where schools could need the help, and I would love to stay and you know, be a catalyst for that kind of change, even if it's in, you know, one classroom, 30 students at a time. But I have a problem with just in general how they're looking at it. You want teachers to be more accountable for the quality of the schools, and you underfund the schools, and you cut the funding for the schools is among one of the first things that you're going to cut when your budget runs over. I don't know. And then the standardized testing, like you mentioned, doesn't take into account the fact that kids freeze up when they take tests. Some people can't take. I know kids in college now who can't take tests.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something. Some kids are behind in the reading, and it I don't think it's fair when you're already underfunding what a teacher's trying to do. It's already undermining the process, really. So you're taking something that's a difficult job, and then you're not giving them what they need to do it, making it almost impossible.
Talking about maybe going to teach somewhere else, mm-hmm. we know that Michelle Rhee has been in contact with other governors in states looking at ways to adopt these kind of reforms that would impact teacher tenure, that would also bring up these merit-based pay and standardized testing. Where can you go in the country that you feel maybe you wouldn't have to deal with these challenges, because this seems like a growing national trend?
You know, I have family up north in New York, so that was probably was my original impetus for leaving. And then I decided to stay and get my master's because you need it up there. And I think that even starting initially with requiring a little bit more from your teachers in the master's, you weed out some people. And I've met some people even here at UCF that, you know, what do you want to do? I don't really know. I guess I'll get a teaching degree.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not into it. It's something to do, and they're taking it because they know that there will always be a job. And, I mean, I disagree with that. I think that the contract system successfully weeds more or less people like that out. Some of them get through. My problem is that when I was in high school, I was still being taught read the chapter, answer the questions at the back of the book. You have a vocab quiz on Friday. You know, I'm a history teacher. My history was taught to me as a list of pronouns, names, dates, places, dead white people. And you can't teach history like that. I mean, it's the 21st century. The computer wasn't used. The internet wasn't used. There was no attempt to reconcile my generation with information that most of us didn't think was relevant to our lives.
And this is in Florida.
This is in Florida. And this is in West Palm, at a reasonably good school district. And, you know, I was in an affluent area. I went to Spanish River around Boca. And that school got more funding than schools in Pompano and Delray Beach and Hialeah that needed it based on the whole funding for the testing, for the standardized testing. It seems like they're built backwards.
I hear the frustration in your voice, Ken Bernstein. Elton, what advice would you give to Ken, who's looking to enter the teaching profession in about a year or so?
Well, my advice would be enter it because you love it. The pay was not the reason that I got into it, and neither I don't think nobody who loves education got into it for the monies.
Would you tell him to stay in Florida?
I would definitely say stay in Florida, and the reason why I would say stay in Florida is because your voice needs to be heard here. It's hard to have a voice in Florida if you're in New York. And if you're going to change something, I believe in changing it from the inside out.
We've been speaking with Elton Wright. He is the teacher of third grade at Eagles Nest Elementary in Orange County. He's also second vice president with the Orange County Teachers Union. We're also speaking with Ken Bernstein. He's a graduate student in education at the University of Central Florida. Gentlemen, thank you so much for both coming in.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks a lot,
Mark. Don't forget, you can tell us what you think about the education debate. Click over to the Florida Talks blog. You can find it at wmfe.org/intersection. There you'll also find links to our weekly podcast. Support for Intersection comes from our listeners and from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. I'm Mark Simpson, and thanks for listening.